praise you.
Love, talk,
and we do appreciate everything that you. It's so wonderful just to be able to call on your name and to ask you to be here in everything that we're doing and to give you complete control. Holy Ghost, please take over. We look to you, and we're blessed by every time you come. Now, Lord, look on every person on the prayer line here. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Open doors for them. That you just lift every heavy burden and lighten every heavy load. Bountifully reach out to them, Lord, and let them have the desires of their hearts, those who are seeking things that would be a blessing to their life, I pray. Bind the enemy everywhere in Jesus' name. Bind the enemy. Oh, God, we ask that you would just completely bless us. Don't let the enemy come in. Block him as he's trying to block us. And God, we pray that you pray for us. You said in your word that you had prayed for Peter. And we desire your prayers in the name of Jesus. Bless us everywhere. Lord, I pray that keep all of us and that you would somehow heal everybody in the name of Jesus and bind every attack of the enemy. The blood of Jesus, the resurrection blood of Jesus. Now, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do today, for what you've done, and for what you're going to, for how you're going to bless us right now. Thank you for it. We love you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now we hear Mother Johnson pray.
Lord, I'm against you. Believing in your will. We just want to thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you because you've been so good and so kind to us. You brought us safe thus far. And we're looking to thee, Lord, to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Knowing we're nothing without you. Knowing we can do nothing and go no place. But thank you for, oh God, watching over us, protecting us, keeping us from hurt, harm, and danger. Bind the enemy now, Lord, and cast him out. Give us, oh God, a mind to serve you all the way. Oh God, bind up the broken hearts, heal the wounded souls. Let the oppressed go free. Lift us up, Lord, where we belong. Lift us up, Lord, lift us up. Anoint us for your service. Anoint us, Lord, for your service. We want to go all the way. Lord, we want to do what you want us to do. Whatever you want us to do or want to have us to do, we're ready to try to do it, Lord, but we want to know exactly what you want us to do. Oh, God, we thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you for peace. Yes, Lord, go with us and stand by us. Lead us and guide us and protect us and keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Bless your people here, there, and everywhere. Bless us all and lift us up. In the name of Jesus, our souls say yes, Lord. Souls say yes, yes, yes to my Lord. Yes to the will of the Lord today. Yes to the word of God. Now, Lord, we ask you to go with us, Lord. Don't leave us, but just guide us on the way. Give us strength in our bodies where we can maneuver, Lord. Do what you want us to do. Move on our own, we pray. Give us strength, Lord. Lift us up where we belong. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you. We just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank God.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. And amen. And I'm asking all of you to help me in just a moment to praise the Lord here. Oh, my, my, my. Let me just speak first of all. Good morning to everybody on the prayer line. Wake up. Amen. Good morning to you. Wake up.
Good
morning. Amen. And let's speak to the Lord. Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let's praise the Lord here. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Praise check here.
Thank
are
you
all
Lord.
There? You
thank
praise
you.
Him? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
God, we praise your holy
thank
name.
You, Lord.
Glory!
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
thank you Lord. Our souls love you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Hallelujah.
Give you glory. Give you adoration. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, give him some praise. Give him some praise. Give him some adoration. Come out from every area code. Lord, give him glory. Glory, glory.
Hallelujah. Bless your name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Lord,
the anointing of the Holy Ghost is on this line.
Glory, glory,
thank
glory,
God.
God.
Glory,
thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord God, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
God bless you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you. Praise the Lord, everybody. We just want to welcome you to the First Fruits Worldwide Prayer and Praise Convention line. And we're on our way to Jacksonville, Arkansas, right outside of Little Rock. You fly to Little Rock. It's about 10 miles from there, and we're just going to be there for the First Fruits Worldwide Prayer and Praise Convention, June the 11th through the 14th. And we're just praising God for everything that he's going to do. In advance, we're praising him. See, that's faith. We haven't heard this or that. We just praise him in advance and believing that he's going to bless. I know he's going to bless. Amen. We're going to get one of the ambassadors or someone to talk on the convention. Ambassador Gail Stith, if you're there, if you would prepare to talk on the convention. I know you're preparing down there for the convention and doing a marvelous, marvelous job. Oh, my God. God's blessing in a great way. Amen. Let's get a station identification. Ambassador Stith, are you there this morning? We'll receive you after station identification if you're there. Otherwise, we're going to get another person to talk. All right, go ahead, Ambassador Hagen.
All praise and magnificent. God bless you. God, all praise and magnificent name. We do honor the presence of the Lord today. We do thank God and honor our Chief International Ambassador, Chief Ambassador Johnson. We thank God, amen, for Ambassador Lady Betty, First Lady of the Lions. We thank God, amen, for Ambassador and on right Mother Abby Johnson, Mother to the Nations. Our God has healed her body. We give God praise. Thank God, amen, for all of the ambassadors, ambassadors-elect. Thank God for all of the bishops. Thank God for Ambassador Dr. Bishop Hagen as well. We thank God for everyone, wherever you are, whatever region or nation. We just give God praise for all of our listeners. We're here, and we are excited about what God is doing, and we're broadcasting live from Blog Talk Radio. We're here at nparadio.com, and we can be heard simply by calling into the studio, 347-934-0207. And we're being heard literally all over the world, more than 90 million listeners. And to God be the glory. We're being heard in countries such as Africa, Asia, Russia, Spain, New Mexico, London, England, my the Virgin Isles, you name it, and we give God the praise, Canada, all of the Americas, North America, South America, and to God be the glory. And I want to thank God for our Chief International Ambassador who's doing an excellent job in getting this message across around the world. And keep doing what you do, Chief, and we thank God for you, and God bless you, and we will take care of that technical situation in just a moment as you stand by. Thank you so much. Back to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Amen. I can understand why we have technical difficulties this morning. And the reason why is because what I'm getting ready to speak about this morning. I asked the Lord, as preparing for this message, I asked the Lord, Lord, what do people need the most in this world? And the Lord, in the spirit realm, spoke back to me, to my mind and my heart. And the answer came back, they need the Holy Ghost. And you see, after Jesus went to Calvary and died on the cross, rose from the dead and ascended to the Father sent a gift back to each of us, for each of us, which will abide with us forever. Now, it's a gift that we have to receive, though. If you don't want it, you don't want the gift, you know, when a gift is offered to people and they say, I don't wear this, I don't need this, or whatever, then you don't receive the gift. God sent the gift, and it was for you, and it's for you, but you got to receive the gift. And that gift is the Holy Ghost. I want every gift that the Father sends to me, I want to receive it. I really do. May not even think I need it right then, but I want to receive it because it was sent by the Father. And I trust him just that much. See, the gift has to be wonderful because the Father sent it. And I believe that every person would want the gift from the Father if they understood more about the gift. So today I want to speak on this gift, and I want to speak on 7 questions about the Holy Ghost so you can understand more about the Holy Ghost. And there are 7 of the most important questions that have ever been asked to mankind. I believe these questions can help change your life forever. So let's get started. I want to ask these questions. Number 1, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm not talking about what the Church of God in Christ or the Baptist or the Methodist or the Presbyterian or the Lutheran believe about. I want to just give you scripture. I want to talk about what the Bible says about the Holy Ghost. Not according to any denomination, but what the Bible says. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That's the first question. 2, what is the Holy Ghost? You got to know what something is if you want to receive it. Yeah. 3, what is the difference between getting saved and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? That's a big, big, big question. It's huge, huge. People have been fighting over that for years. 4, what does the Holy Ghost do? See, if you want something, you want to know what will it do for me. 5, why do you need the Holy Ghost? That's a big question, huge. Why do you need it? And 6, when are you eligible to receive the Holy Ghost? Yeah. And then this question number 7, how? How do you receive the Holy Ghost? Let's get started. These steps decide, you know, a part of your future, etc., by hearing these steps. You know, you receive the Holy Ghost after you get saved now. Now, you have to get saved before you get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a gift to keep you. But now, let me deal with this first question. Have you ever received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I hope your answer is like the... I hope it's not like some of the disciples who said, Lord, we haven't even heard about the Holy Ghost. We don't know what the Holy Ghost is. But if your answer is yes, I have received the Holy Ghost since I believe, then you must be one of the happiest people on the face of the earth. But I want to encourage you to seek a refilling of the Holy Ghost, and seek it today. However, if your answer is no, then that's the answer to what's missing in your life and why it's so difficult for you to live for the Lord. You haven't received the Holy Ghost. You haven't received the Holy Ghost. You've been saved, born again, but you don't have the fullness. There's something that makes your life even better. You got the cake, but you don't have the icing on the cake. You got a bear cake with no icing. There's another total dimension in Christ, and you need to move to it. I want you to move to it today. You see, the Holy Ghost comes not to save you. I said a while ago, it comes because you are saved. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me further elaborate on that. What is being saved, and how does one get saved? Let me give you an example. I had in my life, somebody came in my office one time, and they said, Pastor, I'm going through. I'm really going through. I said, you going through? They said, yes, sir. It's so bad right now, so bad. And I said, well, let me give you a natural example. Can I? They said, yes, sir. I said, you know, they just had this big flood there. The water rose up inches, amen. And they tell me as the water was receding, there were snakes everywhere. She said, what? I said, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, there were snakes everywhere. And this lady walked in her kitchen, and there was a snake on her counter Coiled up. It was a rattlesnake, and the snake was getting ready to strike her. And somehow she backed out, and she was saved. I said, "Well, now, when you woke up this morning, did you have a rattlesnake in your kitchen ready to strike you?" She said, "No, sir." I said, "Run down that hallway, holler, just tell the Lord thank you." And all I could hear is just hollering and screaming, "Thank you, Jesus." See, what I was trying to demonstrate to her is that she was saved from destruction. So when you get saved in the spirit realm, it means that you're saved from your sins, saved from the penalty of sin, and saved from destruction. Saved in the Greek is sotezo, which means delivered from sin, saved from sin, protected, or made whole. And Romans 10:9 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll be saved from destruction. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So when you get saved from sins, you position yourself to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you got to want it. Yeah, some may say, "Pastor, I've been saved for 30 years. But I've never received no baptism. I got it all then. I never received no separate baptism of the Holy Ghost." Well, maybe it's because you have never sincerely invited the Holy Ghost into your life. Have you ever had somebody come to your door and want to come in, and you act like you didn't want them in there? You kept the screen door hooked, and you kept the door peeping out the door. You didn't want to open the door, and they said, "Let me come in." And you said, no, you can't come in." Did they come in? I doubt it very seriously. Well, the Holy Ghost is like that. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. I said the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He's not going to force his way into your life if you don't want him. In fact, let me be truthful with you. You got to want the Holy Ghost more than anything in your life. You got to want the Holy Ghost more than everything in the name of Jesus. Yeah. He will come in, but you got to want the Holy Ghost more than anything in the whole wide world. Come in. And if you don't clean up your life and invite him into your life, he will never come into your life. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in then and help with him." Yeah, he's not going to force his way into your life. So that question that I asked you, please know that the Holy Ghost loves you and he wants to come in, but have you received him? Since you've been saved, since you believed, if the answer is no, seek the Holy Ghost. And I know many of you are wonderful, wonderful Christians on this line. But let me tell you, there is another level that is receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't let people scare you where you are and against the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the best gift you could ever have in your life. Don't let people scare you. They seek to scare you. Don't let them scare you. And don't let that noise bother you, because I told you in the beginning, you know, I was getting ready to teach them the Holy Ghost, and I knew the devil would send a distraction. He didn't want people to get the Holy Ghost because he knows what the Holy Ghost would do for you. Now, let me discuss this second question. What is the Holy Ghost? The Bible says, and let me just say this, many times when you ask questions, if you read the Bible, it has the answer to the question. What is the Holy Ghost? Well, it's found in the Word, in the Bible. John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter," it says this, "But the Comforter, which is The Holy Ghost. See, it answers the question right there. What is the Holy Ghost? The Comforter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and then it tells you this, whom the Father will send in my name. These are red letters, Jesus speaking. The Father's going to send this Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and he's going to send it in the name of Jesus, in my name. He shall teach you all things. This is something that he does. He teaches you all things and brings all things to your remembrance. Yeah, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's Jesus speaking. If I told you something, said something to you disciples, and you were the disciples, the Comforter is going to bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, let me deal a little deeper. Hold on with me and just go a little deeper with me now. All right. Now, the etymological root, now that means the ground root or where it comes from. The etymological root of the word, or where the word really originated from, comforter, in the Greek, is the word parakletos, yeah, which is translated your helper. I hope you get this now, because this will clarify a lot of things. Parakletos means your helper. You see, in the Greek culture, in the law court, the paraclete was the name used for the one who helped the people who were in trouble. It's like a kind of like a lawyer. People get in trouble in the Greek court, and they'd ask for the paraclete. See, when Jesus died and rose from the dead, and the Father would send the Comforter, the Greeks called him the Parakletos, the Comforter, or the Helper, which is the Holy Ghost. See, in the Greek court, that's what it was, the Greek court. Okay, you see, the reason why it's so difficult for some people to live saved is because you don't have the Helper. Yeah. Let me give you a natural example. I mean, you're doing a wonderful job. You're a single parent, or you're a single person, but in this day and time, with this economy like it is, you basically need a helper. Amen. It makes things easier, and the Holy Ghost makes things easier because he helps you to live saved. See, when people don't have the helper, it's just so difficult. Yeah, you got to have the helper in your life, and it helps you to live saved. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. I'm getting saved about this. That means I'm getting protected from what the enemy is doing. I'm getting some more help here about this. Yeah. Notice in John 14:26, the Bible didn't say, "It will teach you all things." It says he. See, the Holy Ghost is a he. And thus we seek the scripture. It refers to the Holy Ghost as a person. See, that's why I want to deal with that for a moment. He is a person. He is a person. What person he is? He's the third person of the Trinity. Yeah. The Father, the Son, the third person, the Holy Ghost. My God. And when you get that third person of the Trinity, that person is going to help you like never before. Yeah. I stress to everybody, get the helper in your life. You sick, get the helper. You're in trouble, get the helper. You're single, get the helper. You're down, get the helper. He'll pick you up. You're out, get the helper. He'll bring you in. The helper will help you in every way. So what is the Holy Ghost? He's the Parakletos in the Greek, which means he's your helper. He will help you walk right, help you talk right, help you live right, help you do right, help you be right, help you give right, help you see right, help you hear right. Just help you. If you're a person and you to the point where you think you don't need help, you are badly mistaken. You need help. All of us need help. We need help.
Amen.
You need the Holy Ghost. He's your helper. Not only that, what will the Holy Ghost, this is another thing I want to discuss with you. What is the difference between getting saved and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Now, I don't want to get into any denominational differences or any doctrinal differences. I just want to read the Bible to you. That's all I want to do. I'm not trying to sway anybody this way or that way. But just let's look at the word. Acts 2 and 38. Let's be fair about this and exegete this as the Holy Spirit. In other words, let's find out what the Lord is saying in the scripture. When Peter addressed the great crowd of people in Jerusalem, you remember when the disciples went to the upper room and they got the helper? Yesterday I dealt with, you know, when is Pentecost, and that is 50 days after Easter. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, go and you'll find a large room and go there and wait there until you be endued with power. I'm going to send power from on high. It's going to be sent rather by the Father. And they went up to the upper room, and it was 50 days after Easter, and the Holy Ghost fell like a rushing mighty wind. Oh, my God, and filled all the room, all the space where they were. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. Tongues that kind of separated, and they were like as of fire, and it set upon all of them. Now, some people want to discard or disregard the Holy Ghost because of this right here. And they say, how could that be so? Well, if you believe that God was able to create you, are you flesh? Are you a being? Are you alive? If he was able to create you and you don't understand how you can have breath and strength and see and hear and all those things, why would you not think that God could take cloven tongues or tongues and let them separate like as some fire and set up on people? If you believe that God could open up the Red Sea and let thousands of people walk across who were the Egyptians, not the Egyptians, but the Israelites who walked across, if you believe God can do that, why can't you believe that God can set up on tongues and cause tongues to be cloven, separate or divided, and like as a fire and set up on each of the disciples, and they receive the Holy Ghost? Why don't you believe that God can get in the wind like a rushing mighty wind come in the room like, can't you believe that? My God, you're not being fair. Yeah, and people who are not fair, then they don't receive basically hardly anything because they can't be fair. So the Holy Ghost did come in, and there was a difference here. Let's read the scripture here. When we talk about when Peter addressed the great crowd there in Jerusalem, he said these words, repent, and then he said, after repent, there's a comma, and then he said, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now these commas, separate these things. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, comma. Then that's the first thing. Repent and be baptized. That's getting saved. Yeah. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the first thing. And what we are calling being born again and getting saved. And then in addition to that, because it says, and
you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Those are two separate things. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Get saved. Give your heart to Jesus. Get born again. After you do that, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's found right there in Acts 2.38. Don't be afraid of the scripture. The scripture comes to help you. Acts 2.38 is right there. You shall receive the gift. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you get saved. And you shall receive the gift. The gift of what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. It's right there in the text. So this clearly shows the distinctive difference between getting saved and being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the people who really love the Lord, who really love the Lord, you want every gift he has for you. And here is a gift to help you. Yeah. So here's further proof. Let's look at the disciples. The disciples were wonderful men. They were called by Jesus, and they followed him, and saw him heal the sick and raise the dead, and they saw great miracles. But let me tell you this. They had accepted Christ. They were following Christ. That, you know, they accepted Christ. They had given their hearts to Christ because they were with him. They were definitely with him. They had been baptized, even so. They had been baptized. But the disciples, even though they were good people, and some of the backslidden people, and some of the people who need to dedicate their lives and rededicate their lives, some of the best people in the whole wide world. But they were kind of like the disciples. They were good people, but they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Good people. See, some of y'all I'm speaking to are wonderful people. You've been a wonderful Christian for years and years and years. Beautiful people to be around and everything else, but you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's for you. It's for you. It's the gift that the Father sent back when Jesus got to heaven. He sent the gift back for you. And if you don't want it, he's not going to give it to you. You're not going to receive it, rather. He's giving it to you, but you won't receive it if you don't want it. You got to want the Holy Ghost more than anything in the whole wide world. It is for you. You got to want it. Yeah. See, the disciples couldn't have received the Holy Ghost. If you doubt what I'm saying here, let me give you scripture. They couldn't have received the Holy Ghost when they were with Jesus, even after they had been baptized. They didn't have it. That's what I'm trying to say. They couldn't have had it because Jesus hadn't died, and the Father didn't send the Holy Ghost back until Jesus died and rose from the dead. See, they couldn't have had the Holy Ghost. Jesus hadn't died yet. John 7:39 says, when Jesus sat in the temple, John remarked this. John said, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So the disciples couldn't have the Holy Ghost. Good people, but couldn't have the Holy Ghost. Oh, my God. And I don't want you to be that way. I don't want you to be a good person that you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's for you. If you want it, it's for you. Here's another way that we know they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Disciples didn't even know that there was a Holy Ghost. Let me read it for you. Over here in Luke 24:49, and then in Acts 19:2, when Paul was at Ephesus, that's where I'm trying to go. He said to some disciples, have ye received the Holy Ghost? So she
said, Dr. Johnson, Acts 19:2. Paul was at Ephesus, said to him, have you received the Holy Ghost? Since you believe, since you got saved, you're wonderful people. You're blessed people. You're doing a lot of good. You're helping the sick. You're feeding the hungry. You're doing a lot of good. You're a blessed woman. You're a blessed man. But they said this back to Paul. They said, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. These are disciples, beautiful people. We don't even know if there be a Holy Ghost. So even though the disciples were saved, they couldn't have received the Holy Ghost yet because Jesus hadn't ascended to heaven. So getting saved is different from receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm clearly showing you this. Let the cataracts fall off your eyes and want to see the Word of God true. It's right there. I'm not trying to manipulate it or do anything. I'm just showing you what the Word is saying here. The disciples didn't have the Holy Ghost, but they did receive it, though, because they wanted it after that. I believe Paul laid hands on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and they received the Holy Ghost. All right, so that I try to answer the question, what is the difference between getting saved and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I hope you get your pens and pencils and get some of this, because see, a whole lot of y'all who are saved and got the Holy Ghost are like this. You got the Holy Ghost, but you can't explain what you got. And how you gonna really be effective if you got it and you can't explain what you got? I'm trying to give you a biblical explanations for all of this. And it would have been good for you to have started out taking these explanations down because they are scriptural. Okay? So I've asked you three questions so far, and I want you to get them. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Mm-hmm. That's the first question. The second question I ask, what is the Holy Ghost? My. Gave you an explanation for that, scriptural explanation for that. Oh, my God. Let me go back. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Mm-hmm. And that comes by being saved. You just got to be saved before you get the Holy Ghost. Secondly, what is the Holy Ghost? That's found in John 14 and 26. And thirdly, what is the difference between getting saved and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? That's found in Acts 2 and 38. And if I go back to number one, and what is the difference in getting saved and, you know, I'm sorry, number one, have you seen the Holy Ghost since you believe? Well, go to Acts 19 and 2. That'll help you right there. Yeah, Acts 19 and 2. God bless you. Now, the fourth thing, let me see if I have time to deal with that this morning. The fourth thing, I have time. Fourth thing, what does the Holy Ghost do? That's huge, y'all. See, most people, when they ask about the Holy Ghost, they can't explain what the Holy Ghost is, which I have given you an explanation for that. They just simply go straight to what the Holy Ghost will do for you. Somebody say, well, I got the Holy Ghost. And they say, but what is the Holy Ghost? They say, well, it'll help you walk right. It'll help you talk right. It'll help you be right. All that, yeah, that's what it does, but that's not what the Holy Ghost is. I told you what the Holy Ghost is. See, you want to be a person who is intelligent about the Holy Ghost. You don't want to sidestep when they ask you what the Holy Ghost is. You want to have an answer. What is the Holy Ghost? I told you a moment ago. What will it do? Now, here's what it will do. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. See, you need power after you get saved. You're dealing with the devil, and the devil has some power. God has all power. But so you need the Holy Ghost, and you need this power. Mark 9 and 17, there was a man in one of the crowds that Jesus had when he was on this earth, and he said, Master, I brought my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. When it seizes him, it throws him into to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and gashes. Mm-hmm. And he gashes his teeth and becomes rigid. And I'm trying to read here because I'm here with my mother, and I'm trying to get the light so I can read. Then it says sometimes he throws himself into the fire and sometimes into the water. So what it's saying here is that this man is possessed by a spirit of the devil. Yeah. He throws himself into the water, into the flood, and then gashes his teeth, and sometimes throws himself into the fire. God doesn't do that. That's the devil. The man's possessed with the devil. You think the Lord's going to save you and then throw you into the fire, into the water? That's evident. That's the devil doing that to that man. And he becomes rigid. God wants you so you can walk right, get up and tell everybody Jesus is real. He wants you to be able to witness. He's not going to do that. Then he said, I ask your disciples to drive out the spirit. I ask your loving people, your wonderful disciples who saw you heal the sick and raise the dead. Yeah, I ask them to drive out this spirit. Let me tell y'all something. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you better leave those spirits of the devil alone. And then it says, but they couldn't do it. They could not drive the devil out of that boy. But now, let me show you here in chapter 3 of Acts. There was a lame man who was carried daily and laid at the gate of the temple called Beautiful to beg for money, alms. When Peter and John saw him, they said, as the man began to beg for money to them, they said, listen, silver and gold have we none, have we not, rather, but such as we have, give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you, the man rose up and began to walk with them into the temple and skipping and hopping and et cetera. And they healed the man through the auspices of the Holy Ghost. But what happened? These were the same loving men who had followed Jesus, saw him heal the sick and raise the dead. But now they had been to the upper room and they had the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was in them. That was the difference. What was the difference? They had the Holy Ghost now. They were loving people, beautiful people, just wonderful, wonderful Christians. But now they can have power. They had power in their life. And they were able to see this man healed because they had the Holy Ghost now. Luke 24:49, let me go there. Jesus told his disciples, and behold, I send the promise of the Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued or completely covered with power from on high. And see, that's something that saints, some of the Christians get into argument over. Do you receive the Holy Ghost right away, or do you have to tarry for it? Well, I tell you, when you wait on the Lord, you get more power. I tell you that one thing. You wait on him, and he will endue you, completely cover you with power. See, some of y'all get in such a hurry, you get saved, and you want to just preach right then. You want to go and be used and give a testimony on nationwide television, on Christian television, and you just got saved. You don't know nothing, and you don't have the Holy Ghost, and then you cause a whole lot of people to be misled. But if you go there and wait on the Lord, wait on him to give you that power, wait on him to drop the Holy Ghost in you. I tell you, he will do it if you will do certain things and clean up your temple, for your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. See, he gives you power. I'm talking about, what does the Holy Ghost do? He gives you power. Another thing he does is that he teaches us. Look at John 14:26 again, 14:26. But the Comforter, it tells you, which is the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? He's the Comforter. And I could go on that a little bit more. But let me get this right here. I may come back to that. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So the Holy Ghost is the teacher. See, he comes to teach us. Not some things, but all things. Yeah. Now let me go back on this Comforter thing. Now, we talked about the Holy Ghost being the Comforter. Let me just deal with your mind here. You got a lot of common sense. And sometimes common sense is better than book sense. And let me tell you, the disciples, Jesus was their hero. He was the one they looked to now. They had been called by him. They had followed him. And they were there with Jesus. Now, when Jesus was forsaken by Judas, and he led them to Jesus, and they got him and took him before the courts and then took him to Calvary, and then they hung him, and he died on the cross. The disciples were there. They were seeing their hero killed on a cross, blood dripping out of his hands and his feet. They saw him being pierced in the side. They saw all this. Do you think God knew that they would see this? Sure, he knew it. And do you think, well, let me ask you this question before I put this to you. Since God knew that the disciples were going to see all this, let me ask you this question. Have you ever lost a loved one? They will lose a loved one. Have you ever lost somebody that you really loved? You needed a comforter. You needed somebody to put their arm around and say, you're going to make it. It's going to be all right. Yeah. It's going to be all right. I went to a hospital or a nursing home the other night, and I had to comfort people. I told them, it's going to be all right. He's in a better place now. He was a Christian. So God knew that the disciples would need comforting. So the comforter was there to comfort them in their hearts. Yeah. See, it makes a difference. You need a comforter. You need him to be there for you. All right? Now, they had not received the Comforter in their hearts yet, but he was there comforting them. Won't you know he was there?